Welcome back to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm the host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is Parker Shannon, CEO of Soch, amongst many other things. So, Parker, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Yeah. Awesome. Excited to hear what you have to say about everything.
Awesome. So. Yeah. No, I'm excited to be on the show.
So you recently endeavored on a new company. Parker's always working on different ideas. So lately it's been on Soch.
Mm-hmm. Soch is, in short, it's basically a digital networking tool. It allows the user to share anything instantly with anybody just by tapping their phone to somebody else's. So what Soch is it's an app-based product. This is the Soch tag. You put this on the back of your phone. And then we also have Soch cards you can use, and we have Soch keychains. So what you do is either your card or your tag, tap to the back of their phone, and then it'll pull up your profile. And your profile has all your contact information, social media, web links, payment information, music links, pretty much whatever you want to share.
That's awesome.
All in your profile. Yeah. So you just tap. They got your profile, and then from there, they can hit a button to save all that information to their contacts and a nice contact card.
That's crazy. Like, you're taking so much time and putting it into one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're having to, like, share all that or, like, find someone on Twitter and then Instagram and then their phone or their email. You're eliminating all of that nonsense.
Right. But what we're trying to do is make the whole, social interactions, like, seamless.
Yeah.
And just take the difficulty out of it, because you're swapping phones, swapping numbers, usernames, that gets complicated, and especially when COVID was going on and I was starting this, social distancing and 6 feet away was a big thing, and the product works completely contactless, so you don't even actually have to tap their phone. It actually works from like 4 centimeters away.
Wow, that's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so completely contactless, germ-free, quick, efficient, and easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now, do both people have to have that tag?
No, that's the beauty of it, is if you don't have the app or tag, you can still receive my profile.
Nice.
Because what it does is it just shares my profile through a Safari link.
Okay.
And then you can open that up. So it's universally compatible.
Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah, and so... Now, that's for Apple, right? And you're working on an Android one?
Right.
As well.
So right now, like I said, it's an app-based product.
Yeah.
So right now, only Apple users can use it because you need the app to set it up. But the Android app should be out in the next 2-3 weeks.
Nice.
And then Android users can also set up a tag and use it as well.
If they don't switch over to an iPhone within those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whenever they decide to do that.
Exactly.
So that's awesome, Parker. I'm loving the idea, and clearly in a technology-driven world, it's entirely applicable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like you're taking the place of business cards. Like, it's
right.
Like, I know you've mentioned that before in some of your different promotions for it.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of spurred your thought or started your idea towards Soch?
So that actually will go back to the business that I was running last summer. So as we all know, 2020 was a tough year, the coronavirus pandemic, and there were the mask mandates that hit March, I think.
Yeah, March.
And so when that hit, I figured, oh, everyone's got to wear a mask. Like, I should start, distributing masks,
Great idea, yeah.
And so I had actually purchased a mask, like, right before everyone got sent home from college, I had purchased a light-up face mask. The company was called Light-Up Face Mask. I purchased one on Amazon, and it was, like, $40.
Whoa, okay.
And I was like, this is sick, but, like, not worth $40.
Sure.
So I did some research and actually found out the source of this product and got in contact with the manufacturer. And, we actually made a few modifications because they had different models. But then just started a light-up face mask with the manufacturer. We'd order them in bulk, bring them to the States from China. But that was tough during the pandemic because
yeah.
there was all the trade embargoes and restrictions and whatever. So we you know, I bought it for $40 and then was selling it for $19.99.
Nice.
And so we mostly did e-commerce sales through the website, and then on social media. Like our pretty much our business model was through affiliate influencer marketing. We'd send out the product to said person, a lot of times for free, and then they create like a little promotional video, post it to their audience and followers, and then people come over to our page, and you know, it works out for everybody.
Yeah.
And so then most of the sales were e-commerce through that way. And then we also had a kiosk at South Park Mall in Strongsville.
Okay.
Where we doing the mass there. And business cards are expensive. So a lot of people, like, if they weren't buying the mask on the spot or they wanted to buy one later or online or whatever, they're like, oh, can I get a business card? And for like a few weeks, I was like, I don't have one.
Yeah.
And then actually started using like these with like a third party app.
Okay.
Where that I just coded my own contact card onto it. And then people, like, when I would give them my business card that way, you know, with these, they'd almost be more interested in my business card than the actual mask, like the product I was selling.
Right.
So then, you know, a few months went by, COVID started to fizzle out, the mask, you know, mandates got lifted eventually. So it was like, okay, I don't know if there's a huge market for this anymore,
sure.
Except maybe, you know, in the music festival niche. So that's when I was like, hey, what about those contactless business cards? I wonder if I could do that. And then I started doing more research on it, trying to figure out how I could get this started, and then just made the right connections, and here we are today.
It's amazing how, like, one thing just leads to another with all of it. That's so how life goes, too.
You know? Oh, yeah.
What a great idea with the face masks. You know, like, you saw the opportunity, you captured it, and it takes a certain awareness to be able to act quickly and efficiently in something that's eventually, was, I mean, everyone was selling them, right? I feel like.
Eventually. Oh, yeah.
Not light up ones like yours.
Yeah, that was the thing for me is, like, I had just early on found that point of difference in the mass market. And, you know, I built the brand Light Up Face Masks. It was simple. You know,
very
one
simple.
Product, that's all we did. And actually, then as the summer went on and the months went on, in the winter, more and more people started selling my exact same product.
Oh, wow.
With, you know, just copying, doing other names, brands, stuff
sure.
like that. So that was another reason why I was trying to get out of that market, because it was just, you know, with global pandemic, everyone has to wear a mask. Sooner or later, everyone figures out they can, you know, cash in on selling masks. So the market was just so competitive. And, you know, it was kind of like a fad or a trend in a way, because it was just during COVID people were wearing masks.
Right, right.
So, you know, this, I think, Soch is a much better long-term business model.
Absolutely, yeah. The world's just going and going in that technology way.
Oh, yeah. No, like what you're saying with business cards, you know, that's the traditional way we exchange information quickly, but we're slowly transitioning into a paperless society.
Yeah.
You know, you think of, you know, in school, at college, we don't take notes, we type notes. We, you know, and then if you think about the financial system, there's all this hype about cryptocurrency now, which I'm invested in. So
okay.
I believe will, I don't know the timeline, but
sure.
I firmly believe in the next 10 years, there will be some form of cryptocurrency that is, like, nationally accepted.
Okay, yeah. I mean, there's players, like, there's that one player in the NFL taking a full salary on
Bitcoin. Yeah, I saw that. And then I think the NBA, they gave the option to their players to receive partial or full in Bitcoin.
Yeah, so it's already starting, you know, just even a little bit. Like, so
yeah. And that's the thing with that is it's just more mainstream adoption by other companies. You know, companies will hop on that wave because they'll figure out, oh, it's another way to get the consumer to spend money at my business.
Right, know? Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Someone's spending money,
it's like, you know, you go to a place and they say cash only, everyone's out the door. Like, that happened to me at Chipotle the other day.
They don't even cash only at Chipotle?
Yeah.
Why? never seen that. That's crazy. Yeah. Something must have been wrong there. Okay, yeah, so you finish up your face mask business. You're like, man, like I can hop in the business card, basically, the electronic business card market, and create this very seamless transition. Mm-hmm. And then you started researching everything, and you found that there's a market for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's, I mean, there's a handful or so competitors of mine which have very similar apps, but I think what sets us apart is ours is just super simple. It's not hard to set up because I've downloaded some of the competitors' apps just to, you know,
check them out,
you know, compare, and they're definitely pretty difficult. I mean, especially, I mean, if you're not tech savvy.
Yeah.
But like ours is simple, easy to use, and then also what we're trying to do is like set ourselves apart because we're trying to be a sustainable business and be like a role model to other corporations to do sustainable business. So since we're essentially replacing the paper business card, what we're trying to do is repair the damage that the business card industry has done.
Okay.
So I can't pull the number off the top of my head right now, but the paper demand for business cards ends up being, what is it? 500,000 trees are cut down every year just to feed that market, which is pretty massive, you know, considering that, you know, business cards, 88% of them end up in the trash within 1 week of receiving them.
Yeah.
So then it begs the question, you know, how effective even is this business card if the person doesn't have my contact to contact me later? Which Soch takes that out of the equation because you can save that person your contacts right on the spot.
It's brilliant, and it's on the wave of the effectiveness of it. Like, well, something that you have going for you is Soch and the entire just the tag or the card that you offer. The amount of information you can fit onto the website is infinite. You know what I mean? Like, you can just go on and on with all these links and all the information, but on a card, like, you only have as big as that little thing is.
Oh yeah, like it's on a business card. You know, traditionally you got a picture of you, phone, email, your title and company, and that's it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I went to a networking event with a bunch of HR executives in Cleveland last week, and they really seemed to like it because they could also share their LinkedIn with people.
Okay.
Which, like, in terms of business networking, is kind of like the pillar of, like, you know, I always say your net worth is your net worth. So, you know, the LinkedIn feature is nice for business people.
Yeah, it's good. Where do you see it all going for you? Do you think that you're kind of, like, how do you plan on expanding or anything of that nature?
So right now we're doing Soch tags, Soch cards, and Soch keychains, but with our manufacturer, we're looking into expanding the product line because these all come with, like, a special chip inside of them, and it's, you know, it's really small.
Sure.
So you could basically put in anything. So what I want to do next is do Soch rings.
Awesome.
And then, you know, whatever else from there. Maybe Soch Apple Watch bands, Soch coffee cup. You know, we'll see. And then, you know, since it's like a social media company, maybe somewhere down the line, you know, you have all your stuff there. Maybe somewhere down the line, we integrate that with the social platform where the users of Soch can also use it as like a Twitter or something like that.
Okay.
But that's way down the line. Way down, you know, yeah. We got to get the user base first, you know.
Can you track all of that or do you just track your sales? Like, how do you know how many people are using it?
Yeah, so on my website, I have a customer management system where I can see everyone who signs up for the app, and then I can see, like, you know, whatever links they put on their profile, or pretty much anything.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so for the app, none of, like, your personal information's at risk. Like, you don't need to, if you're sharing your social medias or anything, it doesn't require any passwords or anything. You just need the web link to it.
Nice.
So, it's all secure. No one can hack you. I've gotten that question a few times.
Okay. Sounds like something that you know, someone who might not be our age might ask.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But, you know, it's rather simple. And like we were talking about a minute ago with the business cards, you know, you can only put a handful on there.
Sure.
The Soch app is set up, kind of looks like, I've kind of modeled it to look like Twitter or LinkedIn, where you have a profile picture, profile banner. So, you know, for example, you could put your headshot and then maybe your company banner behind it, and then you put everything else in. And one of the nice features about it is you can add up to 8 web links.
Wow.
And on the web links, you can name them. So if you were to create your profile, you could say my podcast, you know, or my website or whatever you want, and then it'll link right to it.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's kind of what I was thinking about with this. I'm like, man, like, the amount of people who do this online and use like the, like, kind of what we talked about earlier, like Linktree or some of those, like, this is even better.
That's another thing I was going to say is, like, you could use like a Linktree in your bio, you know, that's fine, but also you could use a Soch link in your bio with your profile,
and then
you know, and you can share your Soch like this. Like,
sure.
It's got a lot of different uses for sure.
That's perfect. Yeah. Mm. Have you reached out to anybody who, like any of these influencer type people or anyone like that, to try and get them to use Soch and maybe brand yourself?
So I have reached out to a handful of people that were also like influencers, ambassadors with Light Up Face Mask.
Okay.
So actually, when we ended Light Up Face Mask, we converted the whole brand to Soch. Like the Instagram account got completely converted. TikTok got completely converted, and then the TikTok got deleted. It's a whole nother story for another day.
Oh, no.
But so I reached out to a couple existing connections I had through Light Up Face Mask, and I got good feedback from them. One of the most notable so far, this guy named Robert Stone.
Okay.
He's like in the WWE. Like a section of the WWE, like a subdivision of the WWE.
That's kind of fun.
And and then he's like in Orlando. He runs like a gym and stuff, like him and his wife. And they love it.
It's perfect. Like everyone that comes in should get a Soch. Everyone that comes into that gym should get one. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, but that's kind of what I'm going to be focusing on a lot for the rest of the summer. Because like I said, in the next week or so, the Android app will be out. Couple bug fixes and tweaks will be finalized, and then from there it'll just be the growth phase. I'll just be reaching out to people, you know, seeing if they're interested, if they want to work together, you know, a little partnership. You know, there's a lot of things that got planned.
It's kind of the fun part. I mean, I think that's the fun part, of course. But you're a social guy too, so I'm sure you.
Oh yeah, no, that's I'm most excited for this phase coming up because, you know, like I said, we started in like February and now it's mid July, and now it's like really, really ready to take off. You know, all the hard work's just about done, and now we can just work on the growth phase.
That's tremendous. Yeah, yeah. Congratulations again too. It's always exciting to, you know, hear about these kinds of stories and stuff.
Yeah, that was like a challenge for me because, you know, with Light Up Face Mask, there wasn't really that startup phase per se because, you know, the product already existed.
Sure.
Just, you know, made the right connections, and then that was just pretty much all just marketing. But this, like, before I started this, I did not realize how much work would be entailed, but, you know, I've push through it, and we're about ready to blast off.
Yeah. What do days look like for you as the CEO? What do you kind of do each day? And
it varies every day. You know, I've got so many responsibilities. Like some days I might be working on improving the website. That's actually what I've been doing for the past like 2 weeks. Getting the website to the point where I could send a cold email to a company or whatever and say, hey, check out the website, let me know what you think. And it's got all the information there. Because before, you know, when we were developing whatnot, the website was just like a skeleton of what it would be. And now it's to the point where it's super easy to navigate, super easy to understand. It's got a bunch of pictures, you know, it's fun to look at.
Right.
So
all the good things.
Yeah, so, because that, you know, that's a bit, you know, it's something we talk about with Soch, is first impressions are important. And if someone drops down on your website and is like, oh, this is kind of, isn't that good? They're probably not going to buy your product, you know, or not going to trust you.
No one needs like that. Like, everyone's been on those websites that are just ugly or that you can't navigate. Mm-hmm. I can't stand that. Like, or if you click the link and it's like, oh, like server not found. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, forget it. I'm not going back. Like, I'm done.
Yeah. So. But then some other day-to-day stuff, like just following up with leads with different people, or like you know, scheduling out social media posts, or, you know, just sending some emails. I haven't done a lot of that lately, but that, like I said, that's coming. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
It all depends every day.
When it varies, it's kind of fun too.
Mm. You know? Yeah, mix it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That's really great. Did you start the name just kind of from this, the like Soch coming from social kind of thing?
Soch originates from the word social, social media, mm-hmm. like, but also S-O-W, the word so, or sow, I think it's pronounced sow actually, means to like reforest or replant. So okay. That was kind of what I was talking about earlier with the sustainability piece of the company. So with, since we're replacing business cards, with every Soch that that order we receive, we then take a portion of the proceeds and then donate it to a nonprofit.
Cool.
And then they'll plant a tree.
Cool.
So, yeah. So, a lot of people ask me about that. They're like, are you really planting trees? Like, every time you get an order, do you go out in the backyard and plant a tree? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, it's the way it's all set up. You know,
right.
It goes automatically to, it's called Team Trees.
You heard of them? No, I haven't. But
A lot of YouTubers partner with them. Like Mr. Beast.
Okay.
He raised like $1 million or something to plant a million trees or something. I know, because they have like a leaderboard of like who's planting the most trees.
Oh, wow.
Elon Musk is number 2 at 1 million. And then there's like one guy, I forget who it was, he planted 1,000,001 just
That's
to
hilarious.
Beat Elon.
Just to be that guy.
Yeah.
Wow, Elon Musk. He's got his hands in everything.
Oh, yeah. I have Twitter notifications on for him. Because, like we were talking about earlier with crypto, I'm investing in Dogecoin.
Okay.
Like, pretty heavily, actually.
Yeah.
And he is, like, a huge advocate of it. And, like, Dogecoin has had its spikes in the past.
Yeah.
It went up to, like, 70 cents at one point. Now it's 18 cents. So a lot of people lost a lot of money. But I bought in early, so I'm just holding it and waiting to see.
Sure.
But over this summer, he's been like engaging more and more with like Dogecoin community on Twitter. And then actually 2 days ago, he changed his profile picture to these sunglasses, and they have the Doge in the sunglasses.
Oh my gosh.
So like, and the big thing that everyone's kind of banking on is he tweeted a poll like a few months ago. Would you want Tesla to accept Dogecoin? And like, it was like 80% yes.
Yeah, right.
And he like tweeted that at the same time that he tweeted we're going to stop accepting Bitcoin because of environmental, like, sustainable energy concerns.
Okay.
And now all the China banned Bitcoin mining. So a lot of those Bitcoin miners were using coal and unsustainable energy to do that. So what a lot of people are theorizing right now, because nobody knows, but
we can
make a safe guess, is that Tesla will resume accepting Bitcoin. And then also, once Dogecoin gets their development to the point that it needs to be at, they'll also accept Dogecoin.
That'd be awesome. Like, it'd be awesome to see a big company like that do that, because...
Oh, yeah, because all the other companies will follow suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, I don't know if you know anything about Dogecoin. It's essentially the same thing as Bitcoin. It was created by one of the Bitcoin developers, literally in like a few hours as a joke, just to show, like, you know, that cryptocurrency isn't like that serious type thing.
Yeah.
And then in the beginning of this year, it blew up. And, you know, I think that Elon sees the potential in it, because unlike Bitcoin, it can handle more transactions per second. It uses way less energy than Bitcoin, like a tenth of the energy.
Oh, wow.
And the transaction fees are actually in the works of getting lowered right now.
Okay.
So, you know, those three things coupled with also they're doing like a Dogecoin Ethereum bridge, which will like combine Dogecoin with smart contracts. So it's like
working on it.
I've been following a lot this summer. They're really working on it, so I'm not too worried about it. I think that I just gotta, you know, hold on tight.
Yeah. Just let it keep going. Is Elon Musk one of your influences, would you say?
Definitely. I mean, I just think he's super smart.
He definitely comes off that way. Right?
Yeah.
He's so smart.
And I mean, he's different from other billionaires in the fact that, like, he's not doing it to get rich, per se. Like,
right.
He lives in a, $50,000 tiny home. Like, there's these things called box homes. They're basically a size of this room, but, like, a box, like, Lego set home. And you put them together, and he lives in there in California.
No way.
So, yeah, and then...
I didn't know that. That's cool.
And then, there's a couple of... I think he has, like a lot of money in Bitcoin as well. And he doesn't really save much. Like, he just reinvests it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Elon Musk, who else are some of your big influences?
My mom.
Your mom.
Yeah, my mom, she has her own company. She's an HR consultant.
Great.
It's called Pinnacle Leadership Solutions.
Awesome.
So, she's always worked from home, and she's always worked really hard, and just growing up and seeing her succeed and seeing how feasible it really is to run your own business has definitely inspired me to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you see it, you know what it's like, you know the hours she's putting in, and she was home with you.
Yeah, exactly, cool, exactly. Right? You can still have a life. You know?
Yeah, right. So, what does your dad do, Parker?
So my dad lives in Long Island. He's in transportation logistics.
Okay.
He's also a big inspiration of mine. He's super smart. He gives me a lot of ideas. He's good to call him and get ideas from.
It's fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, if he, he's worked in transportation logistics for 30 years, he basically just goes into companies and then analyzes their whole warehouse and trucking distribution plan and sees, what can we close, what should we stop doing or keep doing to save money. Logistics is a pretty crazy business because you don't realize... how much that goes into it and how much companies can be overcharging you for stuff. I couldn't talk that much about it. I've talked to him a lot, but it's definitely interesting for sure.
And people that have that analytical mind tend to be really good at that.
Oh yeah, that's how he is. He's super analytical for sure.
That's good. I'm sure you have some of that too, that where it's like, that's a perfect mix.
I was going to say, I'm like a perfect mix of my mom and dad. My dad's super smart and analytical. And then my mom, super bubbly and social. That's why she does well as an HR consultant.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, it's good. You need that combo when you're being a business guy.
Right, exactly.
Because if not, you're getting someone else to run the business with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's definitely invaluable skills that I've picked up.
Absolutely. I'm really glad to hear that you have such high words for your parents, too. It's awesome that they have their own paths that have really influenced and morphed into kind of yours a little bit too, it's a cool testimony to them, what you're doing. And
yeah, definitely. And then both of them, through Light at Face Mask and Soch, have been super supportive. Especially with Soch, they're extremely supportive. Mm-hmm. They call or text me every other day about it. What if you did this? What if you did that? I'm like, oh, cool. I'll think about it.
It's fun.
It's awesome that parents are trying to help me succeed.
Good. Yeah.
Because a lot of, some parents, kids in college, they're like, hey, I want you to focus on school. I want you to get good grades. And, I am. But, a lot of parents would be like, no, we don't want you running a business. You need to focus on school. I firmly believe you can do both,
Totally. Yeah. Why limit yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
If you can do both, you might as well do
both. And why wouldn't you? You said... put in the time and stuff in college and then build something for after college,
Absolutely. Yeah, and you aren't shorting yourself by like it's not like you're not finishing or something like
right,
that.
Right, exactly.
You're still doing that
part
of it too.
I'm still perfectly on track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So you have Elon Musk, which is big. You have your parents. And then you just were starting to talk about schooling a little bit. You're down at Miami, right?
Yeah.
Miami,
so I went to Mercer University for a year and a half, played baseball there. I mean, that was a great experience.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know, played a year there. We went to the College World Series.
Oh, sick.
Went down to Cary, North Carolina, played at the Team USA facility.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really cool. And then, like, I got a ring from because we were on the regional.
Okay.
You know, made a ton of great friends, like all those dudes on the team,
yeah.
My brothers. But then, like, you know, I kind of just got to realize that, like, that's kind of as good as it gets. Like, I was there, like, enjoyed myself, but I felt like I could have more. Like, I didn't think that Mercyhurst was the school for me had it not been for baseball.
Okay.
And, I was really just trying to, like, when I was there, it was all baseball. I didn't realize, like, I thought playing college sports would be so fun, you know. It's a grind.
Those guys work hard.
Yeah, it's nonstop. Like, that's pretty much all you do. You know, you barely got time to eat half the time, you know, go to class. But, so yeah, I was just trying to, like, get the other side of the experience in college, too, you know. Because at that point, like, it just, you know, it was burnout. It wasn't the place for me. And, you know, got the whole experience, so.
Yeah, time to switch it up. You had the success.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And, like I said, it wasn't the school for me, in terms of academics, either. Not to bash them at all, but comparatively to Miami's farmer school business, you know, it was not that level, you know.
Okay. Yeah, so then you switched over to Miami and you're studying business there.
Yeah, I'm doing marketing.
Marketing.
Yeah, I would have done a co-major with marketing and entrepreneurship because they have a pretty good entrepreneurship program there.
Cool.
Because transferring from a private to a public school set me back credits. I want to say I had like 110 something credits done and only 55 in transfer.
Oh,
so
dang.
Like that's like a whole year. So that's why
yeah.
I got one more fifth year at Miami, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Finish it up. I mean, it's cool too. Like
right.
Just get it done and then.
Yeah. No, exactly.
It's good. Now, do you find yourself incorporating some of that marketing that you've learned into SoCH? And definitely Light Up Face Mask. We know you did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So like I was saying with Light Up Face Mask, like the whole model is like affiliate influencer marketing, and that's kind of the same thing that we're doing with SoCH. We actually just set up a referral program a few weeks ago where if you're a user of SoCH, you can actually make money for just using it.
Great.
So it's an affiliate program. You would sign up, you get a custom discount code, a custom link, you can share that to your followers, audience, they get 25% off, and then you get 25% commission, and then as you make more sales, that goes up.
Great.
So it's another situation, everybody wins, you know.
Everybody wins.
If you're going to be out there using and advertising the product, we're going to reward you for it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's a good idea, because people are like, oh, well, I can make a little bit of money and help out SoCH too.
Like,
if you love the product, you're just going to love doing that. So.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Yeah, no, it just makes sense.
You know what I like too, that with it, Parker, is like the it's not, they're not huge. Like, I don't like big bulky things, you know, like a little tag on the back of your phone, perfect.
Right.
The ring, like you mentioned, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The watch, not big. Same thing with the debit card thing. Like, it's
right.
All stuff that you're carrying with you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like you have to have
that,
some ordinary thing with you.
Yeah, that's the thing with another challenge with business cards is, you know, if you're going to a networking event or wherever, you might carry a stack of cards this big with you. It's bulky in your pocket or whatever. It's just inconvenient, you know.
It is, yeah. But I know exactly what you're saying, which is a very cool. Like, it works to your advantage for sure.
Mm, definitely.
Did you ever think, like, you'd own your own business when you were a kid? Like, what was it like growing up? So you had the mom doing her own thing. Your dad was away and working. But what?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I think that, looking back, I've always been pretty entrepreneurial.
Okay.
Probably by age like 12, 13, like middle school. You know, I went through that phase, as a lot of people do, of like the shoe game, the hype beast
yeah,
phase.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I was buying and selling a lot of shoes, like on eBay or Grail. They're, I even had an Instagram page at one point. It's cool. Called Parker's Kicks. And I just post pictures of my shoes there and sell them to different people. Like, yeah. So that was kind of like my first business.
Sure.
And then I guess if you want to count like snow shoveling as a kid. And then, so then after that, I went into, I started like a small business, like painting curb numbers, address numbers. Mm-hmm. So I did that for, you know, a couple months or whatever. And actually handed out business cards for that.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah. But,
so you're working now to plant trees for all those that you
Yeah, right, right, exactly. So I think I did that at like age 16, 17 maybe. And then, you know, I don't think I really did any entrepreneurial things like junior, senior year of high school. And then at Mercyhurst, my sophomore year, I started to get into drop shipping on eBay.
Right.
Which, what I mean by that is basically what I would do is I would buy products from Walmart.com or Amazon.com, and I would then put them on my eBay account on the marketplace for, you know, 20-30% markup or whatever. And you wouldn't think that people would buy it, but the thing is, a lot of people, if their shop, let's say, vacuums, okay, so it was just any retail product you might find at that place. Vacuums was a really popular one for me. So $40 vacuum at Walmart and sell for $65-$70 on eBay.
What?
And people would just search up like vacuum, and like, you know, if your listing gets enough sales, you know, or accumulates enough sales, it'll get pushed higher and higher to the top.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I had one vacuum, I probably sold like 60 of these vacuums at least.
That's
like,
great.
Yeah, just because people just type in vacuum cleaner and then buy the first one they see.
Yeah, they assume it's like discount or something.
Yeah, they just don't do the proper due diligence of looking on multiple platforms,
yeah,
you know?
Hilarious. Yeah. I'm kind of shocked that people clean. Like, I didn't realize that people clean still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, my family cleans, like, thank God, but, like, I didn't know people did, so that's cool to hear that people were buying vacuums in the first place.
Right. So then that's actually how I got into, I got used to like that business model, and then that's how I got into like building brands, is just figuring out how to source products, finding manufacturers, and then also taking different marketing skills and social media stuff, you know, because with eBay, there's no marketing, you know, you just put it on there and sell. So once I got the whole buying, selling thing down, then I was ready to move more into marketing, advertising, branding.
Yeah. And that's the fun. Like, you know, my uncle and I, we love to talk about this kind of stuff too. Like, we always talk about things in just the terms, it's like, it's all comes down to supply and demand, which is what's cool. And like, there's a market for everything. Like, that's what's so great about, I think, like, just where we are and like in history with the way technology is and everything. Like, you don't have to have like you don't have to be the only one doing something. Which I feel like so often is what we think about. Like, it's like, oh, well, that idea is already out there. And it's like, well, no, you can just take a little piece of the pie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like I was talking about earlier, there's a handful of competitors in the social space. And, you know, people have made me aware of that. But it's like, just one of the other fish in the sea, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you do it well, it doesn't matter.
Right. And then, you like, just got to set yourself apart.
Marketing's going to do that for you. Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
Yes, sir.
We were talking a little bit earlier about that app Bump.
Mm-hmm.
So for everyone's going to remember that. But remember like that app? That was so funny. I just remember downloading Bump. And it was like, you would tap your, you're supposed to tap your phone. And like, I think it was, I could have sworn it was like iPod Touch days. Like, you.
Oh, in that case, I have no idea how it would work.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't have like the special chips in them.
Right, that you need for like
the technology for the, yeah.
Because I just remember the big hype around it and then never being able to do it. Like, the way it would work and stuff. And like, I think you could send music over with Bump, or supposedly, and then never were able to. If anyone listening hears and remembers Bump, like, let us know. But
yeah. Bump, let us know if it worked.
Yeah, 2010 app or whatever. It's funny. You're on the renovated side of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's really cool. So what else is going on, Parker? What do you think you want to do? Like, is this the long term? Do you think you want to keep building businesses, or?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I mean, like I said, I got one more year in college. that's what I'm going to be doing for the next year, is building Soch. And my goal is to get it to a level where I can do it full-time out of school, you know. It doesn't really matter how much money I'm making, you know, just as long as I got enough to live. That's my goal, is get the business to the level where that I have livable income on.
Great.
And then, you know, from there to just keep growing, so.
Sure.
But, you know, if that doesn't happen, I'm getting a degree from a pretty good business school, so, and I have a diverse set of experiences, and I really believe that I could go into, like, pretty much just about any company and offer some sort of value, and, you know, just different perspectives.
Especially in marketing. I mean, you've been marketing yourself with all these different entrepreneurial endeavors for 10 years now at this point.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, no, for real. It's, I mean, I still have a lot to learn, for sure, which is why I'm definitely not opposed to working in corporations, you know, out of school. But that being said, ultimately my goal is to not work in corporations. So if I have to for a few years, get some experience, and then dive back into this or the next thing, so be it. But, you know, that's what a lot of people do. That's what my mom did. You know, you work in corporations for a handful of years, and then you get some experience, some knowledge, and then you can go start your own thing.
Yeah. And the ideas hit you. The more life that we experience, like, then the more ideas are going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the light of face nice. Like, if you hadn't embarked upon that, then you would never, assuming they probably
never would have started this.
Yeah. No. So it's like the more you put yourself out there and the more things that you get yourself involved with, then the more ideas that are even possible for you.
Yeah, right. No, I'm a big believer in, you know, saying yes to things and just getting comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, put yourself out there and just, you know, risk it for the biscuit.
Risk
you
it
never
for the
know.
Biscuit. Yeah, right. And the biscuit tastes good when you get the biscuit.
Exactly.
So it's worth it sometimes. Do you have any regrets so far, Parker, in your life? Big, small, learning experiences, however you want to take it?
I don't think so. I think if I'm just thinking about, like, all the different chapters of my life, I feel like every chapter has led perfectly segued into the next one.
Great.
You know, I don't regret, you know, transferring schools. You know, I was happy in Mercier's, while I was there, but I just wanted a change, and I couldn't be happier in Miami. I love it. You know, I've got amazing friends, you know, more friends than I could have ever imagined. I've been getting a great education, having fun.
Yeah, the place is beautiful too. Miami's beautiful.
Yeah, it's super nice. Have you been there before?
Yeah, a couple times.
It's awesome.
It is. It's a nice time. It's always like, it feels pretty homey to me. I think like it's kind of got that homey feel a little bit. It's cool. I've never been to Mercier's, but nonetheless.
Yeah, no, it's really nice too. It's like Gothic style buildings.
Okay.
And it's got like a gate in the front because it's like Catholic.
Yeah.
So cool. It's a beautiful campus as well. It's just a lot smaller.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like 5,000 kids versus 20,000. You know?
Yeah. That's a big switch. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no regrets. You're a person that says yes. You kind of lived and always put yourself out there. So that tends to eliminate any chances for regret. You're not crossing people along the way. That helps. You know, what are some of the biggest dreams? Like, if you could do anything, what do you think it would be? Whether it's like bucket list style, like go bungee jumping, or whether it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Be a professional baseball player, whatever. Just if
nothing
mattered.
I think traveling is one of my big bucket list things.
Yeah.
I've never been to, the only place I've been out of the country, or places, I've been to the Bahamas and Mexico.
Okay.
And Canada. But those are all kind of like neighboring countries, too far.
Canada's like.
But I definitely want to go to Europe. I was going to study abroad last year, but then COVID hit. I was going to go to Barcelona in Spain.
Wow.
Yeah, which would, from what I've heard, that program there is pretty cool.
That would have been rocking. Yeah.
Yeah, but definitely want to travel like different parts of the world and see stuff. And yeah, I mean, bucket list. Maybe be on TV. Okay, really? Bucket list. Be on Shark Tank.
Be on Shark Tank. Tank. Yeah, I want, with Soch?
Yes, with Soch. I
gotta start hitting up Q.
No. I know. I've been tweeting that.
Have you?
No. I tweeted it on a few times last summer. Something about COVID, I forget.
Yeah.
Didn't answer. But, yeah, no, I'm a huge Shark Tank fan. I've seen so many episodes. And that's definitely, like, helped me get my pitch down, too. Like, yeah. When I'm, you know, introducing the product or the company to somebody new. And I've never seen anything like Soch on Shark Tank.
No.
You know?
No, and you have, like, an actual thing, which is good. You mm-hmm. know, you have something tangible that they can see and
right.
do the whole thing. You can hand it out to all of them. And,
right, right, exactly.
Mr. Wonderful grimace at you kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I mean, as exciting as that sounds, definitely would be nerve-wracking.
Absolutely.
Because you never know what questions they're going to ask you.
Never know anything.
Could start like, grilling you at any point.
Yeah. And you also don't know, like, when they tell you great things, then they're all like, yeah, I'm out. It's like, you all just loved it, supposedly. What
yeah.
do you mean you're out?
Mm-hmm.
That always blows my mind. All five are going to tell you how great it is, and none of them go in. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Or they all go in, and you didn't think that they even liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to even do that. Actually, okay, what I know for sure is, based on the number of episodes I've seen, you got to have a decent amount of sales.
Okay.
Like, I've never seen anybody on there with, like, less than, like, couple thousand dollars of sales, or like 10,000 probably.
Yeah,
I'd say like 10-20,000 probably their minimum,
kind of trying to take it to the next level almost, as opposed to like the starter up phase.
Right they want to see that you have a proven business model.
Yeah, because everyone's got an idea,
right? You know, anyone can get on there and pitch an idea. They're like, well, I have nothing tangible, you know?
Yeah,
so
nothing to show for it. No. Yeah, that's true. So you're working your way towards that. And then you'll hop on Shark Tank and then...
Yeah, that's definitely a dream of mine on the bucket list. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm not really sure what else off the top of my head, but there's a lot of things I want to do. I told you I went to that music festival this weekend.
Yeah.
That was like my first legit music festival.
Okay.
I've been to a couple of smaller ones, but man, it was crazy. Like,
was it? Yeah.
Like, even if you're not that into like dubstep or EDM, just like... being there is just so entertaining, because they got like the huge screen, laser beams, like the loudest music you've ever heard, and it's just fun. It's like going to like a movie.
Yeah
like you did, because they play all these crazy visuals and the
okay.
lasers. It's just so entertaining.
Yeah, it's an experience. Like,
yeah,
it's more than just,
for real,
you know.
It's like going to the circus too, because you see that, and then you see all the people dressed crazy walking around. And it's just fun.
Yeah, that's a good time. I'm glad you got to go.
Yeah.
Are you? What about like some of the other big ones, like Lala or any of those?
Yeah, no, I definitely want to. Big one I was hearing from people this weekend is EDC Las Vegas.
Okay.
Or Electric Forest.
Sweet.
So those are, and then Lala's also a big one. But yeah, I mean, I would say in my lifetime, I would like to go to all of them. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You got to try them all out, and now's the time, you know?
Exactly.
Exactly. So another thing that I tend to contend is that I feel like if people live like a grateful life, if they're kind of mindful of that and embody some of the traits that come along with being grateful, that they tend to be happier, more effective, more productive,
mm-hmm.
more at peace.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have any belief in that? Do you think that gratitude plays a role in your life?
Oh yeah, no, yeah. For sure. It's not with me right now, but I actually have a journal. It's called a gratitude journal.
Cool.
And every day it just has a little place that you can, it says, I'm grateful today for, and then you just fill in the blank, you know.
Sweet. Yeah.
And you either end your day or start your day with that, and it just gets you in the right frame of mind, because, you know, every day or even every hour you feel different, but you can just be grateful and thankful for something like that. Like, you realize how well off you are, you know.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. It puts things in perspective, like, for sure.
Do you start your day or end with it?
Usually end.
Usually end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Because I'm not really a morning person.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sleep. You're like, I just want to wake up.
Yeah. Right. No. I'm a night owl. So like, especially at school, sometimes I'll be up all night just
working, doing
whatever. Yeah.
Does what sparked the gratefulness for you? When did that begin?
That was when I was going through a tough time because my parents had just got separated, like freshman year of college, and then also my brother went out of state to a boarding school, so I was just like kind of depressed, like just feeling like down, alone, and you know that just helped me like just change my mindset of like that victim mentality to just be like, everything's okay, like, you know, I got what I need, like, you know, I'm in such a good position compared to most people, like, you know, everyone's got their shit, you know, everyone thinks their shit's a shit, but, you know, everyone goes through it, so you just gotta work through it, you know.
True, totally true. Yeah, everyone's got something that they're grappling with, and eventually you find the mindset that works for you, and I agree, like, if you have a grateful mindset, you tend to look at things a little bit differently and a little more resiliently. Like you're going to be a lot more resilient towards whatever that thing is.
And that's resiliency. That's another thing. It's like I played baseball my whole life, and baseball is a game of failure. And you know, you're in the Hall of Fame if you get a hit 3 out of 10 times, hit 300.
It's true.
So you know, just growing up playing that type of game and then figuring out how to control my emotions and deal with failure has definitely set me up to be successful as an entrepreneur. Because, you know, I can take criticism, I can take constructive criticism, you know, I can fail, you know, I can whatever, you know, light a face mask. I wouldn't consider it a failure, it did well, but it just didn't last forever.
Yeah, it just phased out, that's all right.
It's okay. I wasn't hung up on it, trying to keep it going.
Yeah, phased out so you could get social into it. You know, that's amazing how all of that kind of, like, if you were so hell bent on light up face masks, then who knows what would have happened? Maybe you wouldn't have seen or had the vision for social.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. Yeah, I love to hear that because gratitude plays such an important role in my life too. Just through different things, like all the time, but I mean, because of different things, it really has. Jumped into such a pivotal spot too. So I'm always elated to hear that people agree with that or have similar experiences.
It's definitely important because if you just don't stop for a second and realize, like, you just don't have the awareness to realize, like, that you're in a good position that a lot of people would kill to be, like, just not a enjoyable person to be around.
You kind of make yourself miserable.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I've noticed, you know, with people are just constantly complaining. You know, that negative energy rubs off on other people.
It does. You know, it's funny, like, you're around someone that complains all the time, you're like, I'm exhausted. Like, I feel tired and I haven't done anything.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to you is exhausting.
Exactly, dude.
It sounds so bad, but it's like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, how are you complaining again?
Yeah. No, it's crazy. I don't know how people can go through life like that.
No, yeah. And that's not to say, I mean, of course stuff happens and that, oh, that's real, but yeah, all in all, like, it's, you can't sweat the small stuff. You know,
yeah, no, sure. That's another good point, like, that baseball taught me is that there's so much in this world that you can't control, and that you just gotta focus on control what you can control. And, you know, ultimately, I think that's how, you grow as a person, is you just focus on what you can do to make yourself better in whatever way, shape, or form that is, rather than, you know, what it is that's happening to you. Because you can't control what's happening to you. You can only control how you react to it, or, you know, your day-to-day.
You know, that famous saying, right? Like, life's like 90% what happens to you and 10% what you make of it.
Yeah.
Like, that, I feel like we've all heard a rendition of that.
Yeah, definitely.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Parker, if you had a piece of advice, a story to tell, maybe some moral lesson to give to either up-and-comers, to people in the world now, or just in general, what would you say?
Do what you want to do. And don't really worry about what anyone else has to think about it. Because, you know, in this world, in this life, there's always going to be people who who are on your side, who love you and or, you know, support you, but then there's always going to be the people who don't see things the same way as you, or, you know, you just don't get along with. But it doesn't matter. If you just stay true to yourself, you know, you're going to get to the place you want to be. And if you just block out all that noise, then you're going to be on the right path.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because you really can get lost in that noise if you let yourself. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. You got to block that out. And like you're saying, man, it's like people are going to hate no matter what you're doing. Right. No matter what you're doing. Like, well, I've mentioned this a little thing before, but like someone will donate money, like some multi-millionaire will donate, you know, $100 million and people want more. It's like, no, like,
yeah.
Just take the good. Like, there's always going to be hate.
Exactly.
And hate is just going to tear people.
You've always heard it is, you can't please everybody. No. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's impossible. Yeah. You know, as much as you try, you cannot get everybody to like you.
True.
You
know? Right.
It's impossible. But yeah.
The best way to handle it, like you're saying, is just to do you, to be you. So that's great. Do what you want to do. Yeah. Block out the noise.
Those are some real, real relatable things you just said there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any final closing thoughts? Anything you want to say before we wrap up our episode here?
Go follow Sosh on Instagram, Sosh.co, and follow me on Instagram, Sosh.ceo. That's about it.
Great. And for everyone that's listening to this podcast, thanks for tuning in. I'll be dropping all of the information in the information below down in the comment section and all that jazz, so you can check it out. Those of you on YouTube, as always, depending on what YouTube allows me to do, because they just change their minds every day, I might be putting the links in the video, I might put the links in the comments, but you'll find it. It'll be attached to the video. It'll be to Light Up Face Masks. It'll be to Parker's Instagram. It'll be to Sosh's website. Anything that is has been talked about in this episode here that you want to see will be down in the comments. And of course, that way, if you want to get in touch with me or you want to get in touch with Social CEO Parker Shannon here, you are able to do that. So, Parker, thanks for joining us. It's been an awesome time. Yeah,
thanks,
Joe.
It was a great conversation.
Absolutely. Always. Thanks for tuning in. This has been another episode of Chats with Clark.